could maybe tell us now before the, I would like to call the June 1st Fire Committee meeting to order. The first order of business is to approval or correction of the minutes from the May 3rd meeting. Mr. Chapman, if you can.
I'll move for approval, but I have a correction to be made as an amendment.
Okay, please denote the correction, please.
The correction would be that in the minutes, it shows that Councilmember Landing made a motion to approve the FY 2020 recommended budget. And I believe it should be FY 2022 budget.
Okay.
Second.
Well, I think we, and Nancy, you can help us with this. Minutes are to record what was said, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, whether they're, whatever it is. It's just a recording of what was done at the meeting. So although Mr. Chapman is correct that we were not approving the budget that's stated in the minutes, it could have been said that. So would you like us to address this right now? I mean, is there any way for you to know the accuracy of that, or how do you, what do you think we should do?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, the minutes as they currently are in a draft form, and so I can go back and listen to it. If in fact it says 2020, since they're draft minutes, we can go ahead and make a note that the budget is for 2022. We can correct that easily.
Can we do this, though, just for consistency in public information? And if I'm being a jerk, just tell me. But
always.
I believe minutes should be recorded of what was done at that meeting, no matter what it is. Would it be okay for us to wait until next committee meeting to approve both sets of minutes? And then if, I don't think Ms. Landing made a mistake, but if she did, we can correct it at that time to make sure that the business is done properly and the minutes are reflective correctly. Ms. Landing?
I'd just like to say, one, I very well could have done that, but if I did, not only was it set, I mean, it's extremely unlikely when I'm sitting here looking at the 2022 budget that I said 2020, which is last year. But if I did do that, then it was not only seconded by Mr. Chapman, but was voted on by the whole group. That means all of us would have been confused that we were talking about a budget that was 2 years old.
It's not about blame.
No, I know. No, it's not about blame. But what I'm saying is that doesn't seem that likely. Do we take up staff time to go back?
It doesn't seem likely. But the only way to know whether it did or didn't is to go back and actually listen.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Can you say that the motion is appropriate at this point, at least to put staff on notice? If in fact 2020 was said, we can note the minutes, at least that that's what was said. But it should be 2022. Can be corrected easily, so I don't really see any need to move forward. The motion will just put staff on notice, and we can correct the minutes accordingly if they're worthy of correction.
Okay, really good point. Thank you.
That was the purpose of my motion, simply to make sure.
I'm sure I messed it all up by getting a little more technical than I probably needed to be, but so we can approve the minutes, David.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. It's that controversial fire committee. Okay, is there anyone for public comment? We have a public comment. Welcome, Mr. Cunane.
Good morning. Kevin Cunane from Dunes West. That's in the upper northwest corner of Mount Pleasant. And down here in the lower southeast quadrant of Mount Pleasant, we have a gentleman's agreement, an unofficial automatic aid agreement with Sullivan's Island. It's come to my attention through some informants that this is a handshake deal. There's nothing in writing, but Sullivan's Island gets our engine whenever they have a fire, and we get a ladder from them whenever we have a fire in certain areas of town. Now I'm asking, as a resident of the far end of town, why isn't the Charleston engine that's 3 miles from my house coming to my house? I'm not special enough. like the people down in the old section. You know, you have a 100, what are you making these days, Eric? Damn close to 200 grand in the town administrator, who maybe 4 or 5 years ago told me, ladder trucks, they're obsolete. That's why we're not going to put any more. And, you know, my head was spinning as a retired firefighter, how ridiculous that was. But if there's a deal to run an engine from somewhere else into the, or a ladder from somewhere else into this town, and one of our engines to leave this town, everybody in town should have that benefit. People that live in Bell Hall could get a ladder from Daniel Island a lot quicker than either of our ladder companies. And there was a death up there, maybe 2 years ago. And we looked at the response times. I go right on Google Maps, the same time as the fire, and I do just a regular drive. And you know the trucks can beat Google Maps, you know, if they're rocking it, and they should be. They beat it by a little bit. But you get a good picture of how long it takes to get from A to B. And the Daniel Island company could come into Mount Pleasant. That new Kanehoy company could come up on 41. And that's lives in the balance. But somehow, it keeps getting kicked down the road. This has been brought up since before that Charleston fire station was built on Kanehoy Road. It was brought up in regards to Daniel Island before. It's been brought up in regards to Hughie Street across the, maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong, sorry, across the bridge. They can get to Patriots Point well before our second engine from, or our third engine from who knows where. Carolina Park? Who do you think gets to Patriots Point first? Charleston will get there. But it seems like everybody wants to play dumb on this. But there's this wink, wink, nod, nod special deal. And by the way, the mayor has a family residence out there on Sullivan's Island. So they get the benefit. So his family gets the benefit, my family doesn't. You know, this has been brought up, automatic aid versus mutual aid, and why don't we have a blanket coverage over and over and over again? The next time it's brought up, it may be the day after a family is killed in a fire. Not a person, a whole family, okay? Because you can see what happened in Hamlin. Two big houses burned to the ground. And that's not the fault of the firefighters. That's the fault of the money people. The whole council and the third floor cover-up department. You know, it's crazy. Over and over, it's like a broken record. But the facts are the facts. Show me the written agreement for Sullivan's Island. I'm going to FOIA that today. Today. Where's the written agreement? From my understanding, there is none. It's a mutual aid agreement. But they do a little special side deal that benefits a little area of town. My area of town doesn't get that benefit. Miss Landing's side of town doesn't get that benefit. I don't even think Rambo's side of town gets it, because he could get that engine from Charleston quicker. But somebody makes a special deal. Who knows when? I don't know when it happened. I'm not accusing anybody now of doing it. But now you know about it. There's a special deal over there. Make the deal everywhere else. I'd rather see the department brought up to the standards where they belong, but that's not happening. So use the resources that are available and get the closest damn companies you can to a fire. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
I do.
Yes.
So I just wanted to send out a thank you. My family, a close family member of mine, had a medical thing happen very late, like 1:30 last week. I'm happy to report that everything is okay, but I just want to thank Captain Tim Hawk and his team. Incredibly professional, stayed with another family member who could not be alone until one of our family members got there, which happened to be me. I got a little look behind the curtain, so to speak, and the professionalism and the caring and just the above and beyond that Captain Hawk and his team did were awesome. So just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Okay. Item number 4, discussion and possible action regarding the agreement for fire service between South Carolina State Ports Authority and the town of Mount Pleasant. Chief?
Yeah, I can go ahead and lead it. Is there a
chief? Oh, yes, sir.
Short of it is, we have an agreement to provide fire service for the Port Authority. It's been around for some time. As you can see, in general, calls for service have generally doubled more or less over the course of time. And what we're able to achieve working with the Port Authority representatives is roughly a doubling in that fee every year. And so I think this is a good win for us and better reflects the type of service we provide over there. And so going forward, we'd recommend your support as well.
I'd like to add for the committee that what you see in front of you was not the first recommendation of the Port Authority. This, like many things, had to be discussions back and forth, and I'd like to commend our staff for getting us to a situation that is what we feel like we deserve, but is certainly better than how we've been working this in the past. I believe personally we need to be the ones going in there, but we also need to be compensated for that. So I think this ended up okay. Any other comments? Okay, do we have a motion?
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion.
You said it.
And Ms. Lanning has seconded.
Jake
has seconded. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, good. And that will go to council for full approval, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Next item, 5, review the 2020 standards of cover.
All right. While he's pulling that up, I'll give a little intro on it. So, Standards of Cover is part of our accreditation document. We have 3 guiding documents that we have to provide to the accreditation committee. The first one is the 5-year strategic plan, which you all approved in 2018. That plan spans 5 years, so that's in place, and we've been working off that to, as a guiding document to add equipment and staffing and different programs and things of that nature. That's kind of what we've worked on together over the past couple of years. The second one is the Fire and Emergency Services Self-Assessment Manual. So that's 252 different criterion that we have to speak to as a fire department, all the way from are we legally established, to budgeting, to fire response, to everything, HR, and that is nearly finished as well. And the last one is our Standards of Cover, which includes a community risk assessment. All of this is kind of coming to a head because our accreditation documents are due later this month. So I wanted to bring you this one as part of the process. We have to provide it to our authority having jurisdiction, which is our fire committee and council. So once the full documents are completed and turned into accreditation committee, I will provide them to you all so you can look through them. But I kind of wanted to brief you on this document and what it means and what's going to be in the document. So as you can see, for the next one, there's a process that we go through. And this has been going on since 2000 because we've been accredited since that time frame. So we kind of go through the same process through all 5 years. And we're at the point now where we're basically documenting our historical response and then bringing you the data that we find through that. So that's kind of the cyclical process that we go through every 5 years, and it keeps continuing. So part of this document is our community characteristics. So we look at everything from population to traffic counts to hurricanes. They want to see everything that's unique to your jurisdiction, that you've identified it, and how do you address it in your response plan. So there's a lot of this stuff in there. You'll see in the document when you get it that we've really outlined everything that's unique to our jurisdiction, from critical buildings that may need an extra response and things of that nature. So then we perform an all hazards assessment, and that's every program that we potentially need: hazmat, medical, fire, rescue, anything that the department provides. We look at a community risk assessment and look at different things. So as you see on the screen, that's just a snippet of our hazmat. We want to look at how many times we respond. Are we seeing trends? And we do that with each program, like I said, from medical to wildland fire to fire response. And we're looking for anything that, that changes. For this one, it stayed pretty consistent over the years. Most hazmat calls are simple fuel spills at gas stations, things that we can handle with one unit. Now, if we saw something dramatic, if some light industry moved in and we started seeing chemical spills a lot, we would need to adjust a little bit. And you can also see we create maps for corridors where we'll see most of our response, what types of buildings they are, churches. So really just a full community risk assessment of what the community has.
But Chief, can I answer?
Sure.
But it appears that you're going in the right direction. From these numbers, it looks like the incidents are going down. Is that accurate, looking at?
Yes, sir, and that's just, like I said, that's a small snippet. I mean, there's so many different things. So some may go up, some may go down, maybe as things change, but that's an excellent point. We want to see trends or things, you know, do we get to a point where there's zero type of a particular call every year and we draw back, or the calls are increasing and we put more toward that particular program.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just a small example, which you're right. For that one, they've stayed pretty consistent over the five-year time period.
Okay.
So that's exactly what we're looking for. So from that assessment, it guides, like I said, our training, the equipment we need, how we respond, and we create these critical tasking for each type of unit, how many personnel we need for each type of call. This is just an example for the Trench Rescue Program, and we do it for every facet that we provide, but just how many crew members we'll need initially to address this type of issue. Do we have enough equipment, enough training, things of that nature? So that hazard assessment kind of guides our direction for our critical tasking. And then the fourth part of it is our documenting our historical response over the past 5 years. So this just happens to be EMS. Like I said, with the previous ones, we look at every category that we respond to. So we look at the jurisdiction as a whole, which is the one on the left. So basically looking at 25,000 calls over the past 5 years for our 90% response criteria. So this is not an average. This is not a 50%. This is 90% of the calls we meet this time or better. So this is our baseline, and we're really working toward a benchmark, which is the ultimate standard we're working towards. So this is the first time that we've actually broken it down by district or planning zone. So we've gone even more granular to look at EMS in District 1 through 7 to identify trends by district so we can make adjustments that way too. So a lot of the document is this response time model so that we can look at it and figure out where we need to plug holes or add units, or, you know, just it guides us throughout that process. And then the final piece is basically bringing our guiding body the document and letting them see the trends over the last 5 years, the risk assessment, and what we recommend. So wanted to brief you on that. That's really all I have. The document will be done by the end of the month, and I intend to provide it to you all at that point so you can look through it and I can further answer questions and you can kind of see where we're going as accreditation is coming in this fall.
So you don't expect any issues with accreditation? You're just...
Yeah, they basically come in to verify and validate.
Right.
So we speak to the things that we do. We say, hey, we do these things. And they come in for a week. They look at all of our programs. They interview the program managers. But I don't foresee any issues, no, sir.
Sure.
And now they'll make recommendations. They'll say, hey, you may need to, you're not putting enough effort into, say community education. It was okay.
Right.
So we take a more focused look on that based upon their recommendation, and that's kind of how the process works, how we grow as a department.
Okay. Any comments by the committee for anything?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
And it appears that the chief has already things that came up during the public comment period. So once we get the final version of what he's looking at, there may be some adjustments to the way we're doing things. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is a part of it as well, looking at mutual aid and automatic aid contracts, and that is in this document. So, yes, sir, you're right. Once this comes out, there may be some adjustments or some things, and as we've talked in the past, automatic aid is on our docket of things to look at this year. We've already talked about it in committee earlier this year. So, yes, sir, that is part of the document.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. I just wanted to put that on the minutes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else? Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.